This is 5 in 10 from Skywatch TV, 5 things you need to know for this Good Friday, March 29th, 2024. I'm Derek Gilbert. Item number 5 today, Moscow. The geopolitical repercussions of the terror attack in Moscow last Friday night may yet be felt. On Wednesday, Foreign Ministry spokesperson Maria Zakharova gave an English-language interview to a media outlet in Russia where she doubled down on statements by Vladimir Putin that Ukraine and its Western backers, including the United States, probably had something to do with that terror attack. She said it was strange that a Western media narrative coalesced behind ISIS-K. ISIS Khorasan, the branch that operates in Afghanistan, was responsible for the attack within hours, while the mall and concert hall were still on fire, in fact. She said, quote, "The speed with which they were able to come to such forthright conclusions is astonishing. It took them only a few hours to get to a microphone, turn on the lights, summon the press, and draw a conclusion about who is to blame for this horribly bloody terrorist attack." And she underscored that this demonstrates that U.S. officials have boxed themselves into a corner because it allowed independent analysts to remind everybody else what ISIS really is. Quote, "You are behind all those ISIS-type structures. You, the United States, Great Britain, yourselves brought them into being," end quote. And it is true, as we've said on this program, that during the 10-year proxy war in Syria, the United States backed the so-called moderate rebels inside Syria, paying the salaries of the Free Syrian Army, whose commanders were openly cooperating and fighting alongside al-Qaeda and Islamic State terrorists. Now, do we buy into exactly everything that Maria Zakharova said? No, I'm bringing it to you just to show you what the Russian government is putting out there as its narrative. This is a war of narratives, a war of information, and Russia building a case that they were attacked essentially by proxies of the United States, the United Kingdom, and the West. This may yet be just another skirmish in the opening days of World War III. Pray that it is not so. Topic number 4, the Baltimore Bridge. As we mentioned earlier this week, another incident that might be connected. We have no evidence one way or the other. Officials continue with the cleanup. The collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge carrying I-695 over the Patapsco River there continues to block access to the Port of Baltimore. It will likely be blocked for quite some time. The accident will affect maritime traffic. Carriers have to seek alternative ports of call on the East Coast. According to experts, about 107 vehicles will not be able to call on the Port of Baltimore, have to divert to other ports. This, if there is any good news, is that Baltimore, even though it's an important port for containerized trade, it's relatively small. So what makes the Port of Baltimore unique is the volume of roll-on, roll-off cargo it handles, like passenger vehicles, light trucks, agricultural equipment, and construction materials. It's also the second largest port in the United States for the export of coal, which is an important economic driver in states like West Virginia, Ohio, even southern Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky. This will have to be diverted and routed through Norfolk. Other impacts include the Port of Baltimore's fueling depot, which can't take fueling shipments for the near future. And that stretch of I-695 was the only hazmat-approved bridge in the area. So those shipments running up and down the coast on the East Coast I-95 corridor will have to route completely around Baltimore, adding time and cost to shipment. Topic number 3, Biden versus Bibi. This week, the fracture between the White House and Jerusalem continued to grow. The negotiations for hostage release in Doha between Israel and Hamas ended. A senior Israeli official said that the truce negotiations are at a dead end because of unrealistic demands by Hamas. Others accused the Hamas leader of in Gaza, Yahya Sinwar, as sabotaging diplomatic efforts because he wants to rile up Palestinian Arabs and other Arabs in the region during Ramadan and turn it into a holy war. Now, Netanyahu brought the United States into it, saying in an interview, "Hamas's decision to reject a U.S.-brokered compromise is clear proof that it's not interested in continuing talks and a sad testament to the damage caused by the U.N. Security Council resolution." You might remember earlier this week, the White House, the Biden administration, declined to veto a ceasefire resolution in the UN Security Council, just abstaining in the vote instead. Netanyahu saying this emboldened Hamas to harden its position on demands. Now, we'll see where this leads, but while all this is going on, there is a strange development that's taking place inside the body of Christ, the church as a whole. More and more voices getting louder and louder, declaring Christ is King. Now, that in itself is not a bad thing. It is true, in fact, Christ is King, but it's being weaponized on social media in posts that are very critical, not just of the Israeli government, but of Jews in general, spreading the idea that we Christians are now the biblical Israel. This is replacement theology. I would suggest that if you're using the phrase Christ is King specifically to antagonize other people, and especially Jewish people, it's not a whole lot different from taking the Lord's name in vain. And this growing stench of anti-Semitism inside the walls of the church is very disturbing. Topic number two, Democrats versus democracy. And yes, I know the United States is a representative republic. Just making a point here. NBC News reported 2 weeks ago, should have caught this then, that the Democratic National Committee is building its first team to counter third-party and independent presidential candidates. Now, it's telling that the media will describe any candidate not running for the Republican Party or the Democratic Party is a third-party candidate. There are more than three political parties here in the United States, but you wouldn't know it from the media coverage. Anyway, the Democratic National Committee has hired veteran Democratic operative Liz Smith, who guided the 2020 presidential campaign of Pete Buttigieg, underscoring how important Democrats see this effort. They are also bringing in Mary Beth Cahill and Ramsey Reed, who are two longtime DNC insiders, and they've started issuing rare public statements rebuking Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Now, the Democratic Party, Joe Biden, also facing challenges from liberal candidates like Dr. Cornel West, running on the People's Party ticket, Jill Stein, who is running again as a Green Party candidate, and then there's a new No Labels Party that says it's going to run a candidate yet, just haven't selected him or her. And most of these candidates will draw support away from Joe Biden. A lot of Democrats still blame Jill Stein and Ralph Nader for losses at the polls in 2016 and 2020. Now, yes, Joe Biden did get into the White House in 2020, but down ballot, Democrats didn't do very well. Just one of the statistical anomalies of the 2020 election. We'll set that aside. Anyway, they blame Stein and Nader, and not the fact that they chose the two least popular candidates available in 2016 and 2020, Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden. Their party didn't want them. They wanted Senator Bernie Sanders, who would not have won the national election. So we understand why the Democrats did what they did. But the irony here is this. First of all, two main takeaways. Number one is that the corporate media is reporting this story like this is absolutely normal for a major political party to use not just messaging on social media, but actually mounting legal challenges to keep candidates from other parties off the ballots in states. Of course, they're trying to do that with Donald Trump, too. In other words, the party that claims to be the only thing standing between the American people and the collapse of our democracy is the Democratic Party, and they're doing it by trying to deny American voters the right to vote for the candidate of their choice. We're going to kill the Republic by taking away our freedom to vote. Okay. Secondly, it's really telling where the Democratic Party is today. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., if anything, it should be Democratic Party royalty. Son of Robert F. Kennedy, who would have been elected president in 1968 if he hadn't been assassinated. Nephew of President John F. Kennedy, Senator Edward Kennedy. He's been disowned by the party that he's belonged to his entire life. And again, the Democratic Party, ironically, claiming that they're trying to save our democracy, but they're doing it by taking away the freedom of Americans to vote. Coming up, some good news to end the week. The squatter hunter. I'll explain what he's about next on 5 and 10.
There is an all-out war being waged on the minds of an entire generation of today's young people.
State lawmakers are now questioning how 70 foster kids can go missing.
They have convinced us in the West that children are a burden. Birth rates are below replacement levels just about everywhere in the Northern Hemisphere.
People would have to be utterly blind or insane not to recognize the current heartbreaking onslaught against our most vulnerable citizens, our children.
Children who have been thrown up against walls and locked in closets. Children who hide under their beds in fear and whose nightmares are real. Children who have been beaten with 2x4s, whipped with bicycle chains, and burned with cigarette butts.
Children living in foster care are 4 to 5 times more likely to commit suicide than those who are not.
An agenda to submit our current generation of children to a fate far worse than death is being carried out.
I was 5 years old. I was doing dishes. My mom was so mad. She had picked up one of the steak knives and shoved it through my hand and just walked away.
Who will stand in the gap for these children? These are real lives.
Item number one on the Friday Five, the Squatter Hunter. A man named Flash Shelton found his calling in life about 5 years ago after his father passed away. Squatters took over his parents' home in Northern California. They broke in the back door, put in some furniture, and started living there rent-free. Shelton called the police. Police said, well, you know, we can't really do anything. Squatters have rights. You'll have to take them to court. So Shelton was not happy with that answer, but rather than getting violent, he thought, okay, if squatters have rights, I'll become the squatter. So he watched and waited for the people in the house to leave. He broke in, got friends to help move their stuff out, moved us to, and showed them, hey, look, mom signed a lease. I'm now the tenant. And besides, I'm the new squatter. Well, the squatters protested. They called the police. Police said, sorry, squatters have rights. Shelton realized that if this worked for him, it could work for other people as well, so he has turned it into a business. The Squatter Hunter. Charge anywhere from $5,000 to $20,000 per home, depending on how difficult the situation is. But considering that court cases to try to evict a squatter from a home being illegally occupied can cost upwards of $100,000, that's money well spent. Good on you, Mr. Shelton. Skywatch TV's virtual conference, Confronting the Darkness. We are certainly living in a time of growing darkness. It is still available for you to sign up and get instant access for 90 days. 2 dozen cutting-edge presentations on the state of the supernatural around us today, including Dr. Tom Horn's last presentation for Skywatch TV. You also, as a free bonus, get access to all 6 feature-length Skywatch Films documentaries. Don't miss out on this opportunity. Take advantage of it at DefenderConference.com. DefenderConference.com. Skywatch TV supports the work at Whispering Ponies Ranch, and we got a forthcoming docuseries showing just why that's so important. The series is called Rescue Us. For some reason, the good folks at YouTube found that to be offensive, and that was the reason Skywatch TV's channel got canceled again. It seems to be a theme with them. That's happened several times now with Skywatch TV when we tackle this subject. Whispering Ponies Ranch partners with Royal Family Kids to offer free facilities for their camps that work with children in foster care, children who are at much greater risk of being trafficked, getting involved in drugs and pornography and prostitution, gangs, prison, early death. But if you get to them early enough and show them that there are adults who love and cherish and protect children, show them the love of Jesus Christ, in other words, who said, suffer the little ones to come unto me, can change the course of their lives. And this week you'll hear from Samantha Orr, whose case of child abuse was one of the worst ever recorded in the state of Missouri. She explains how Royal Family Kids Camps changed her life. This is why we do what we do at SkyWatch TV. Don't miss the programs. You can catch them all, including the current program, at skywatchtv.com. Our broadcast program, same program that's available at the website, but if you watch over the air on one of our Christian partner networks, you can see the broadcast schedule at skywatchtv.com/channels. It's available to watch right now at our Roku and Apple TV channels, rumble.com/skywatchtv, or get our free mobile app. That is available for iOS, Android, and Amazon Kindle Fire phones and tablets, and we'll never get canceled from our app. It's got other features as well, but you'll find links to the app stores for your device at skywatchtv.com. In early May, Sharon and I are putting together a special trip to Israel. We're calling it our Solidarity Mission to Israel. Most of Israel is safe and secure. Just the region in the north bordering on Lebanon, where Hezbollah is in control, and the region, well, in Gaza, the Hamas terrorists have been pushed back away from the border, which is good because we plan on visiting a couple of the villages that were attacked on October 7th. Also the town of Sderot, where the police station was besieged. We'll go to Tel Aviv, visit Hostage Square, an exhibit based on the Nova Music Festival. And then we'll go to Jerusalem and see the places that you'll want to see there, like the Temple Mount, the Mount of Olives, the Western Wall, and more. This will be a powerful visit, an opportunity to pray for peace of Jerusalem, in Jerusalem, and much more. We hope you'll join us. This will be a small group, no more than a couple of dozen. You can find out more at our website, gilberthouse.org/travel, gilberthouse.org/travel. Thank you for watching, and have a blessed Resurrection Sunday. I'm Derek Gilbert. This is 5 in 10 from SkyWatch TV.